Well, good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
It was nice to sing that lovely little hymn this morning, Away in a Manger, No Crib for a Bed. That's probably one of the very first hymns I ever learned, and it brings me back to my early boyhood. Now, we didn't sing it because of the time of the year we are in. All around us, there are Christmas celebration, which is a very worldly thing. It's the world that's organized this to a great degree. Oh, yes, there are Christians who join in, but it is very much the world's affair. The Lord Jesus wasn't born at this time of the year, and we know when he was born. Not the date, that is, the day, the week, but we know the approximate time of the year. And we know that because we know when John the Baptist was born, very early in our year, late January, mid-February, round about that time. And we know that 6 months later, the Lord Jesus was born. These things are taught us in the Bible. So, he would have been born toward the end of summer, not at this time of the year. Activities at this time of the year date from long before the Lord Jesus was born. This is a time of the year that the pagans, the people who didn't know God and who worshipped idols, had a big celebration. And that celebration was adopted by so-called Christians some hundreds of years ago when the church, the body of professing believers, had departed from God and the door was opened to all sorts of foolish nonsense. And because the pagan feast was very attractive and the activities associated with it were very attractive to the unsaved man, then it was put about that this celebration would now be the celebrating of the birth of Christ. But as you know, it is a very worldly affair. The pubs are in full swing. Night after night, Christmas is being celebrated in the pubs. Not just in the pubs, on the streets, because they come out of the pubs still celebrating and hardly able to stand. And they'll celebrate by being sick all over the place, by fighting and knocking lumps out of each other, and all sorts of other ungodly activities. Oh no, it's not a marking of the birth of the Lord Jesus, it's an ungodly affair. And I say that because we picked the hymn this morning because it's related to what it is we want to say. But having picked that hymn, I wanted to make sure you didn't think we were joining in the Christmas celebration. Oh, we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus, but we don't celebrate what men call Christmas for very obvious reasons. We're turning then to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. When I was last with you, I asked you a question. The question was, who are the 99? Look down at chapter 15, verse 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? Who are these 99? I mentioned to you that there are those, and you can see it when you read commentaries, there are those who believe the 99 were 99 members of Christ's flock who are saved, and he leaves them in order to go after this wandering sheep. I don't believe that's the case. I don't believe that's the case. And that for a number of reasons. I also said to you that when we read of the Savior leaving the 99, I believe that that refers to that one leaving that you read about in the Bible concerning Christ. He left heaven to come to earth to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to earth to seek and to save sinners, and by his death at Calvary redeem all of those he had appointed unto salvation. I believe the leaving refers to him leaving heaven. And the 99 were not earthly beings, human beings. I believe it refers to that great family that belongs to the Lord Jesus that dwells in heaven. The angels, of whom I think I can say there are millions. And the Lord Jesus, if I might use the term, is the father of them all. He created them, and they love him. Love him completely. Love him as no Christian here on earth can love the Savior. Because our love, at the very best, is flawed. It's not perfect. But the angels love the Lord with a perfect love. And I believe they are the 99. That angelic host, he left them to come to earth to seek and to save that which is lost. Now, I wanted to give you reasons why I believe this, because to tell you the truth, I haven't been able to find in the great commentaries anyone who put forth this particular view. That's not to say that others haven't preached this view, but I just haven't come across it. There's one man that I read who appeared to come near to it, but apart from him, I haven't been able to find anybody who put forward this particular view. So therefore, I need to give you good reasons why I believe what it is I do. I wouldn't want to put forward a notion that is not grounded in the Word of God. I wouldn't want to do that. I spent my life endeavoring to contradict everything that was contrary to the Bible, opposing everything which was opposed to the Bible. I've spent my life doing that. And I wouldn't want now to put forward a view that is not found in the Bible. So therefore, I need to explain to you in detail just why it is I believe that this leaving of the 99 is a reference to the Savior leaving his created angel, his family, I'll call them that, his family in heaven. After all, he left his father and came to earth. And they left that angelic flock and came to earth. So why do I believe this is an angelic flock and is not a flock made up of human beings, whether they be saved or whether they are not? Why do I believe that? Well, let me give you a number of reasons. I'm sure I'll have to come back to the subject, but let me start by saying this. I do not believe that this flock of 99 is made up of human beings because of the description that is given to them here in this parable. Look, please, at the verse 7. And we'll read from verse 5, just to give us the context of it. And when he findeth, that is the lost sheep, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbours, and saith unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep with which lost. Then the Saviour, as he always does, applies what it is he has just taught in the parable. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Now, do you notice anything there? Come on, think about what it is you're reading when you're reading the Bible. The 99 are described as just persons which need no repentance. Just persons which need no repentance. Now, where would you get 99 men or women or boys or girls here on earth of whom that could be said? You couldn't. You couldn't. The wise man Solomon said, there is no man that sinneth not. Paul said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So amongst all, you couldn't find one who is just and needeth no repentance. You might think to yourself, well, surely it's Christians are spoken of. They're saved. Their sins are forgiven. Might not this description, just and need no repentance, might not that fit them? No, it doesn't. And if you're saved today, that does not mean you have no need of repentance. And to show you that, I have only to turn you to, I could turn you to many verses. Verses that are simple and easily understood. Revelation chapter 2, the last book of the Bible, the chapter 2. And do remember that the opening chapters of Revelation contain letters written to churches. The seven churches of Asia. The seven churches of Asia. Letters the Lord Jesus dictates to John and says, send those to the seven churches. And in those letters, listen to what the Savior says to the churches. Look at chapter 2, and we'll just remind ourselves who it is the Savior is writing to here. Verse 1 of chapter 2 says, unto the angel, or the messenger, or the minister. Angel means messenger, that's what the word means. And the minister is but the messenger. He's a message boy. Oh, I know, some ministers think they're very important, but they're only message boys. Now, the message they bring make them important. But in and of themselves, they're not important. They're just message boys. And I'm here today delivering a message to you. And I believe it's a message from the Lord. So, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he, that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, and walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labour, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and is born, and hast patience, and for my name's sake. So, you're talking about Christians here, who lived for the sake and honour of the name of the Lord. That's who we're reading about. That's who the Saviour was talking to here. But look at verse 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent. Christians are ever in need of repentance. Because you see, we sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. John writes in his first epistle, Christians sin. Their sins are covered by the blood. But when they sin, they need to repent. So when we read in the parable of 99 who have no need of repentance. We're not talking about Christians. We're not talking about Christians. Now you might say, oh, well maybe the church at Ephesus was an exceptional case. Well, no. Look down to verse 16. This is the church at Smyrna. Verse 16. Repent! Or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Still talking to Christians here and indicating that they have a need of repentance. You could look at chapter 3 and the verse 3 of Revelation. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. Here's more Christians who are in need of ongoing repentance. Then the verse 19 of that same chapter. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore, and repent. So here are those the Savior loves. And he's saying to them, repent. Repentance, boys and girls, is an essential part of being a Christian. A Christian believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. A Christian loves the Lord Jesus Christ. A Christian endeavors to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. A Christian seeks to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. But as they try to do these things, they know they don't do them as they ought, and therefore they have to repent. They have to be sorry. They have to regret their feelings and their shortcomings. It was Martin Luther, a great reformer, who among the many things that he wrote said this, all of a Christian's life is one of repentance. Do you hear me? All of a Christian's life is one of repentance. Repentance is as vital and as essential to the child of God as breathing. You cannot live as a Christian without repenting because you know you're not perfect and your sins grieve you and you come before the Lord. And as the Lord has taught us, we say, forgive us our sin. That's repentance. I can remember just after I was saved. I was saved in a day of real spiritual blessing. There was joy among God's people that you do not find today. If we were to go outside today and look up, sky is cloudy. It's not very warm. That's because it's December. In the summertime, if we were to go out, there would be days when we'd look up and the sky is blue and the sun is shining down out of it and we feel so warm. But back when I was saved, that was a different time than the day in which we're living today. This day, spiritually speaking, is a December. Whereas, I think I can say, the day in which I was saved was a time of summer blessing for the people of God. And there was joy amongst the people of God and rejoicing that isn't found today. Oh, I wish it were. And for your sake, I pray God will send such a day again that you might know firsthand something about that of which I am speaking. But while I remember the happiness that I enjoyed back then and the sense of bliss that filled my heart the night I walked home from Ravenhill Free Presbyterian Church, having just found assurance in God's word that I was saved, it seemed as if I was walking that height off the ground. I was just floating. But it wasn't too long until sorrow filled my heart because I sinned against the Lord. I did that which was wrong, and I had to repent before I could again enjoy that bliss and happiness. Repentance, boys and girls, is an essential part of what it is to be a Christian. And if you never repent, if you never feel sorry for what it is you have done against the Lord, then I have to tell you, you're not a Christian. You're not a Christian. So, when we read of these 99 that they had no need of repentance, we're talking about those who are not of the earth, not of the human family. I believe we're talking about the angelic host. That's who the Lord left behind. Come to save you. Come to save you. The night the Savior was born, heaven came down to see. Remember? The shepherds in the field. The message from heaven. There's one born in Bethlehem who is Christ the Lord. And the next thing, there wasn't just one angel. There was a multitude of the heavenly hosts singing. They had come to see, how do I put this? They came to look in and see what it was the Lord Jesus was undertaking. Yes, we're talking, I believe, about the angels when we talk about the 99. But there's more reasons why I believe that is so. Not just the description that's given of them. They had no need of repentance. That rules out the human being. And I believe suggests to us, and more than suggests to us, we're talking about angels. The Savior left his home in glory, boys and girls, to save sinners. Has he saved you? Has he saved you? Oh, has he saved you? Let's bow in prayer. Write your word, Lord, on hearts. Give understanding to the boys and the girls. Make them to realize that they are numbered amongst those who need repentance. Who need repentance, which is a gift from God. Lord, bestow upon every child here, every boy, every girl, every teenager. Bestow upon them the gift of repentance. That they might see what they are by nature, sinners. That they might see that they have sinned against God and need pardon. Lord, work that grace in their hearts, I pray. And bless the school today as we draw near to the end of another term. Lord, bless the children, bless the teachers, and grant all thy mercy. For Jesus' sake. Amen.